And now, squeals of joy, courtesy of the laws of astrophysics. You're listening to the gasps and cries of amazement from witnesses to a total solar eclipse in Australia just a few weeks ago on November 13th, 2012. The eclipse is a curious gift from nature that occurs somewhere on Earth about every 18 months. It reminds us of the vastness of the universe, the flimsiness of our solar system, and the Earth's desperate dependence on the sun all at once, while delivering two mind-numbing minutes of sheer visual beauty. Frank Close is the author of The Infinity Puzzle and a physics professor at the University of Oxford, but that only partly explains why, in his spare time, he travels the Earth, chasing the moon that chases the sun. He's seen five solar eclipses in his life, and he sounds like he's just getting started.
It's impossible to explain to somebody who hasn't seen one themselves the full emotion of it, but when the last sliver of the sun disappears, and suddenly a black hole appears in the sky with shimmering light around it, and the sky goes dark, and there's a 360-degree sunset all around the horizon because the moon's shadow is about 100 miles across. And you get this feeling that all life and force and energy is just flooded off into space. And if you ever have the chance to go to a total eclipse, don't waste your time trying to take photographs of it. Just experience it. But let a video camera run and afterwards play the audio back. And you'll be surprised at what you hear people shouting. It sometimes sounds as if you've been at a mass orgy with people screaming out and going, "Oh, my God. Oh, my God," like that. And just be warned. Be careful.
And you have not been to a mass orgy.
Not on this program.
Not on this program. All right. So here's an account of totality from the American writer Annie Dillard, who experienced a total eclipse that actually I experienced in the Pacific Northwest back in 1979 in Goldendale, Washington. And here's what she writes, and I'm wondering if you had a similar experience. "The sun was going," she writes, "and the world was wrong. The grasses were wrong. They were platinum. Their every detail of stem, head, and blade shone lightness and artificially distinct as an art photographer's platinum print. This color has never been seen on Earth. The hues were metallic. Their finish was matte." Did the colors all change in that sense?
That is actually beautiful. That says it perfectly, because what you are seeing in the moments leading up to totality and totality itself is something which has no analog in any other part of your experience. And in that sense, yes, the colors change. I had the sense that it was like watching a sunset, but a strange sunset, because the shadows didn't lengthen. The sun was high in the sky rather than low at the horizon. And there were strange bifurcations of the shadows on the ground. They were sharp in one direction and fuzzy in another direction. And the black moon obscuring the haze around the solar corona is almost like a regular sun in a negative image. And I thought, you know, if you suddenly woke up one day and saw the whole world in a negative image, you would probably just freak out. And it's like that. There is nothing that I can compare it with. And I suppose that is the reason why people are prepared. Once you've seen one, as you yourself probably appreciate, once you've seen one, you have to go and see it again, because there is nothing like it on Earth.
Well, here's what Annie Dillard says about that black body that covers the sun. "Seeing this black body," she writes, "was like seeing a mushroom cloud. The heart screeched. The meaning of the sight overwhelmed its fascination. It obliterated meaning itself. If you were to glance out one day and see a row of mushroom clouds on the horizon, you would know at once that what you were seeing, remarkable as it was not worth remarking. It was just so big."
Right. Well, I saw one in Zambia a few years ago, and I remember there talking to the locals about what they expected, and one of them gave a beautiful description. They said, "I thought I was looking into the valley of death with the lights of heaven beyond beckoning me onwards." And I thought, who could write poetry like that? Because that is what it was.
Where are you going next?
In November this year, we're going off the coast of Africa. There's a rather short eclipse. It only lasts for about a minute. Then next year, or 2015, I'm not quite sure the date, there's one that crosses the Faroe Islands up in the north. And you in the States will have a great opportunity not even to travel, probably. In 2017, in August 2017, there will be a total eclipse that will start across, I think, Oregon and come right across the central of states, exiting around South Carolina. So if you're on that line, make your plans.
Has the weather ever burned you on your trips?
Well, yes and no. the very first one that I saw was actually totally covered by cloud in 1999, which might sound a bit of an oxymoron. How can you see a total eclipse under cloud? The answer is that the shadow of the moon is covering the cloud above you from horizon to horizon, and you suddenly feel very insignificant with this huge... It's like what an ant must feel like when a bird of prey swoops down on it. That was the feeling that I had of the moon's shadow on the clouds above me, and I was totally enveloped by it. And that, in a profound way, was maybe even more of an astonishing sensation than actually seeing an eclipse in a clear sky, which luckily the other four have all been clear. One was in the desert in Libya, and of course with the desert sand being so bright, away from the eclipse path, sunlight was bouncing off the desert sand and back onto the rear side of the moon that was obscuring the sun, so you could actually see the structures on the moon obscuring the sun. That was itself remarkable. Then the last two have been over the ocean. It was the Pacific Ocean that we went to off Fiji. We were in a ship for 3 days with about a couple of hundred other people. And then one morning we stop in an anonymous piece of ocean with the promise that an eclipse will happen. And then at the exactly predicted moment, somebody says, "I see contact through their binoculars," and a little piece of the sun has been nicked out by the moon beginning to cross it. And that's the moment. Even as a scientist, you think, wow, you know, physics works.
Even as a scientist. You know, I want to ask you about this other feature of totality. And you must have experienced it on the deserts of Libya as well as on the ocean, the onrushing sense of the shadow. You suddenly feel the speed of the rotation of the Earth and the movement of the sun and moon simultaneously as you watch this shadow arrive and then leave. Have you had that experience?
Yes. In fact, you don't get much chance to watch it. It's moving at about 2,000 miles an hour. But the first hint you have, certainly when we were in the Pacific with beautiful clear blue sky, a summer's day as it was out there, and suddenly on the horizon, you're suddenly aware it looks as if a storm is gathering, and that's the shadow of the moon. And you've hardly realized that it's there until, you know, it's over you.
Wow.
The day that we saw the one under cloud, that was the thing that we noticed most of all, because you suddenly saw this onrushing blackness. You know, photographs don't do justice. It's the action, this thing suddenly enveloping you, this dark storm cloud that envelops you, and then the sun has gone. And that, I'm sure, is why the ancients really were terrified.
And so no amount of Oxfordianness, no amount of being a physicist can relinquish the sense that this eclipse is a thing. It's not, oh, just the mathematics of three bodies in space and this is what goes on. You feel that it is a thing. It is a tangible, almost a life force.
Well, of course, at the basic physics, it is three bodies in space lined up, as you say. However, why do people do science? We are, as kids, probably fascinated in the universe and the beauty of things and wanting to understand. And we have this marvel at the way that nature works. And that's what drives many of us into becoming scientists. So in a sense, the total eclipse, the emotional experience of it, is symbolizing the very things that inspired us to become scientists in the first place.
Frank Close, physics professor at the University of Oxford, author of The Infinity Puzzle. He's a solar eclipse enthusiast, has seen five, and he's not finished yet. Thanks, Frank.
Thank you.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of Science and Health News. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.